This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, 35 past 9. I'm Koo Soo Chong, joined this morning by Daniel Fernandez. He's the founder and editor of DSF.my, a car and automotive portal. This is Pressing Matters, and Pressing Matters is the show where I talk to journalists, or we talk to journalists to get an inside line, an inside scoop on whatever is journalism's hottest topic of the day. And really, today, as we talk to you, Daniel, welcome to the show. It's all about approved permits and the fact that Malaysia, decades after Proton was formed, still continues to have an approved permit, AP system, which allows individuals and companies to bring in luxury cars, aside and I think aligned to the existing car industry. Why do you think this system still exists, Daniel?
Good morning, Chuang. Good morning, team. Good morning, listeners. You know, thank you for listening in and allowing me to say my 2 cents worth. Number one, approved permit is not just for cars. It's for motorcycles. It's for anything you want to bring into the country.
Onions,
okay?
Fruits,
anything,
et cetera.
Yes. Yeah. Now, the approved car permit issue has always been a hot topic because why? Approved car permit holders are known as AP kings.
AP holders, yeah.
Yeah, they're called kings because why? They were flamboyant. They had yachts. They had, you know, private jets, private planes. Not all of them, a few of them. You know, who really had a lot of APs. And in the good old days, they made a lot of money. When I say good old days, I'm talking about 15, 20 years ago. The kind of money they made was just silly. Because why? These permits they get from the government for free. Okay? Now, that document, that piece of paper allows them to go to Japan or go to England. You know, these are the two countries where you get right-hand drive second-hand vehicles, high-quality cars, Bentleys, Mercedes-Benz, BMWs. And then it's filtered down now to Alphards and Toyota Wish and Toyota Previas and all that to come into the country and sell to Malaysians. And Malaysians love these cars because why? Until a few years ago, you can't buy these cars, most of these cars here. So you go to an AP holder, Recon Car AP holder, to buy a car which the official manufacturer does not sell here. For example, long time ago, Mercedes-Benz won't sell an A-Class. Okay, so you go an AP holder to buy an A-Class. Now they sell the A-Classes here, so you don't need to go to an AP holder. A long time ago, you can't buy a Toyota Estima or a Toyota Alphard brand new because UMW Toyota will not have it on sale in the showrooms. So the AP holder brings it in. Now, this process has made a lot of AP holders super millionaires. It's a good business. But the reason why we are talking here today, the reason why I brought up the issue 2 weeks ago on my website, dsf.my, was simply because we already have a lot of AP holders. Then I found out through my sources, and I spoke to a few people, and the people I spoke to were not people from Ministry of International Trade and Industry and not people from the government. I spoke to people who are current AP holders, the old-timers, the kings, you know, as such. And they told me that there were a whole bunch of new AP holders. They gave me, the rough number was 38, but I was corrected by the Ministry of Trade that it was 36. Okay, so I was off by two. So 36 brand new AP holders. Now, what happens now is you're generating easy income for 36 new companies. And I use the word easy income because you know why? This is a business which you really cannot die. You just have to have a piece of land, put a porta cabin, put some shade. You have to find a source from UK or Japan to buy these cars. And now you can do this online. The good old days, the former AP kings, they had to fly to the relevant countries, go talk to used car dealers there, find the cars, make sure the cars are in reasonable condition, you know, bring them back, go through customs and everything else, pay the tax or maybe get financing for floor stocking and then do the business. So now it's a lot easier because you can do it online. I mean, you can still fly there because if you got AP, you got Manila, you know?
Of course.
Yeah.
So obviously these sources, what they said was correct because actually the government didn't come out to deny. They came out to clarify.
Yes.
And it's interesting because AP holders wouldn't tell you the story themselves unless they had something to lose from this development. And I presume it's because there's a certain number of APs. There's a finite number of APs in the system. And for there to be 36 new holders, that means their pie must be shrinking, right?
Exactly.
Otherwise, what's the reason for them to talk to you?
Exactly. That's the reason why they talked to me. And that's also the reason why I explained in my article how the pie is still the same. It's still the same size pie. It's just the slices now thinner. And the big timers, you see, a lot of them, I would say, have actually invested into the the rest of the automotive industry. They've brought in, they've become franchise holders. They've actually put up proper showrooms. They've actually worked to get, you know, workshops running so they can offer some kind of warranty to their buyers. But the new guys that come in, they're just going to have a piece of land, porter cabin, signboard, and then they're just going to do the business.
If they do the business.
If they do the business. Now, that's the second part, which a lot of people are telling me I should not have said, because I said some of them are actually selling the paper. Now, yes, it's difficult to find these people. They are out there. But the current AP holders know them. The old AP holders know them. Because why? The guys who are selling the paper will obviously go to the old guys and say, listen, I heard that, you know, last time you had 4,000 APs. Now you got 3,000. I've got an extra 50. Would you like to buy it from me?
So in your article, you said that between each AP was being transacted as between 18 to 22 ringgit.
Yes.
22,000 ringgit.
22,000
per paper.
Per paper, yes.
That's what they told you.
Yes.
So they'd rather not do the business.
Yes.
They'd rather not build the goodwill. They'd rather not fulfill the mandate under this policy, which basically is ostensibly to develop the Bumiputra entrepreneur class,
right,
but to just hold them and do the classic, typical Alibaba thing.
Yes. You see, for me, I don't mind this still being a Bumiputra thing. That's fine. You know, you have the system in play. Everybody has been happy so far. Let it continue. I have no issue with that. My only issue is, why do you need 36 new players? Because you already got so many established players, more than 100 established players, doing the business, having the outlets, having the contacts in Japan and UK and even some other countries to bring in these vehicles. Why do you need 36 new players? Why do you need to slice down the pie? Okay, so some people have told me, oh, you know, this guy's already too rich. But the AP business now has started becoming not so favorable because legitimate car manufacturers like Toyota have started bringing in some, you know, like the Harrier.
Yeah, the more esoteric, right? The Alphards, the Harriers, the Yarises as well.
And their pricing is very good and they have full warranty.
You might as well just get from the official distributor rather than go to the grey market and be get something which is 2 or 3 years old.
Exactly. So I did an article some months ago. Mercedes-Benz has this pre-approved used car program, okay? If you go and see the pre-approved used car program, a two-year-old Mercedes-Benz A-Class, let's take the most basic. The two-year-old Mercedes-Benz A-Class from Mercedes-Benz Malaysia pre-approved used division is the same price as a reconditioned car from an AP holder. Now, my question is, why are Malaysians, I would use the word on as silly, to go and buy this car when you don't have warranty, no after sales, you don't know who the previous owner is in UK. You don't know whether they had a, you know, someone who vomited in the car, who was stabbed in the car, was, you know, blood-soaked seats, which they cleaned out. Because why? They bring the car in, they take it to a car wash center, they pay the guy $80, he does everything, and the car is ready to be sold. Now, that is one issue which a lot of people will debate me. I'm fine with that. The next issue is, today, in the market globally, cars are being recalled every month. Like recently, Alfa Giulia being recalled, the brand new Alfa Giulia.
The Quadrifoglio?
Yes. Okay? Now, if I bought a car, because the car is not officially sold yet, I bought it from an AP holder and then there's a recall.
You don't write a recall.
Exactly. You know, BMW, a few months ago, had a recall in South Korea. Okay? They had a global recall on certain models. Now, most of these models are not sold officially in Malaysia, but they could have been sold here as a reconditioned car. Now, that reconditioned car, there could be a problem that it might have an electrical failure. And yet, people don't have their recall facility because the car was reconditioned. So my question back is, I know you want to drive an unusual car. I know you want to buy a cheaper car. But your cheaper car is secondhand. Your cheaper car doesn't come with warranty, doesn't come with after sales, doesn't come with a recall facility. So why are you gambling so much money on a car like this?
Because you don't know. You're ignorant. And ignorance, by and large, plays a role in all this.
Exactly.
They don't know that they can go to BMW or Mercedes and get a pre-owned car.
Exactly.
Pre-loved and fully checked out by the boffins inside.
Exactly. So that is why I urge more Malaysians to listen to BFM, especially Cruise Control, my show.
Shameless plug, Daniel Fernandez. I've got Daniel Sherman Fernandez on the show with me. It's Pressing Matters. We go beyond the story to talk about the editors and the journalists. And of course, Daniel Fernandez is the editor and founder of DSF.my that blew the whole story on the approved permits wide open. We're going to be coming back, Daniel, and be talking about this in greater detail after this. BFM 89.9. Good morning, 9:47 in the morning. I'm Kusa Chong and I'm talking to Daniel Sherman Fernandez. He's the editor and founder of DSF.my, an automotive portal. And this is Pressing Matters, the show where we talk to editors and journalists about the stories that's really making headlines. Now, Daniel, you've been covering the car industry for like decades, at least 2 or 3 decades.
Okay.
And we've been talking to foreign car makers for many, many years, right? And they must really, you know, every time a new country head comes in, they must decry the whole AP system where they've been told by the government to invest and hire people and build out factories and treat as service centres all over the country. But then at the same time, we've also got to deal with this whole AP system. How do you think it's really found a level? Has it even found a level ground in the last few years?
My personal opinion, no.
No, right?
Very simple. Okay, look at, say, BMW Malaysia, okay? A few years ago, they introduced hybrid cars, plug-in hybrid cars. Huge success. Everybody wanted a plug-in hybrid. The 3 Series, the 5 Series, the X5. They wanted to bring in more models. And then now comes the NAP 2019, which has been sitting for the last few months. Okay? Ministry has not come back. Now, without knowing about this NAP, can you invest in reintroducing this hybrid cars? No, because you don't know whether you're going to get a concession or not. Now, you can't suddenly say, okay, today we give you the NAP 2019, you can start business. You can't call Germany and say, listen, I need 20,000 cars, put it on a boat now. No, you have to order in advance, long-term ordering in advance. I think you know that also. Same thing in Mercedes-Benz. They invested so much in Pekan, billions of ringgit they invested in Pekan to put up new paint shop, assembly and everything for their hybrid cars. Now they're not selling hybrid cars. They just introduced a new E-Class, the whole range, there's no hybrid. Because why? There's no NAP 2019. So coming back to this AP issue, it's the same thing all around. The ministry is looking at the whole thing and not making a firm decision. Why? Because there's a new government, there's new policies, you know, they want to tread carefully and all that. But meanwhile, car companies are spending tons of money. Showrooms are not cheap. And then every year you go and tell the showroom owner, you say Cycle and Carriage or Hap Seng, oh, you have to follow CI, do renovation. That's a million, two, maybe 800,000, maybe 600,000, new pylon and everything else. They invest in all this, and then yet you don't have the new cars coming in to make the money back.
So just clarify for me, right? If you assemble the cars locally, you don't need an AP.
You don't need an AP.
If you bring them in from abroad because you don't assemble here, them here because it's too expensive, whatever, you need an AP.
Yes. So the fully imported cars need an AP.
So how do the foreign car makers do it?
So like Mercedes-Benz, they have an AP partner. BMW has an AP partner. Mazda has an AP partner. Nissan has an AP partner for, of course, Infiniti cars because those cars are imported. And Honda has an AP partner for their imported cars like the Honda Odyssey and the Civic Type R.
So what would it take for Malaysia to equalize its standing as an automotive hub, say with Thailand? Thailand is a huge success. They have production capacities of over 2-3 million vehicles a year versus our 700,000 or whatever, right?
We were at one time
the biggest.
The number one for many years. Thailand overtook us, not by a small margin, a huge margin, and simply because of one simple thing, AP. And I'll explain this to you. We can continue to have AP. I have no problem with that. But I'm just saying...
Why would you? I mean, you're a car nut. You're a car editor, right?
Okay.
There's nothing... Is there any good at all from the AP system?
Let me continue. You are interrupting me when I'm talking.
That's what I do. I'm paid to do that.
Okay.
Before you start frothing in the mouth.
We can continue to have the AP issue. Because APs are for cars, for motorcycles. Don't forget commercial vehicles. Huge market. You're talking about big trucks, buses, everything. They need APs also. That's another whole can of worms which we haven't opened up. It's coming soon on dsf.my. But now, I'm saying keep the AP issue, but do it like Singapore. The government, Ministry of Trade, controls the AP. They sell it to the car manufacturers. They earn the money. That doesn't bring the car prices down. Not yet. But they control the money. Now, can you imagine the billions that they will earn if you did not have the 160 over AP holders? That money that they earn will pay off better medical care for Malaysians, better education. We could even have free education right up to doctorate level. On top of that, better road systems. Then you can help the poor, you can feed the hungry, you can provide better housing.
Okay, so that's editorializing maybe. But it seems a simple decision. Why doesn't the government get rid of the AP system?
Like I said,
we talked about it from some years ago.
Yes.
Never dismantled it.
Yeah. So if you dismantle it, you can still have it, but it's controlled by the government. Like Singapore controls the COE, the Certificate of Entitlement for Singapore to buy a car. You tender with the government, and every month they have a tender process, and the value varies, and then money goes back to the government, and the government uses it for the community.
So, in your opinion, why is Malaysia's government not diminishing the number of AP holders, but increasing the number of AP holders? What is the reason?
Okay. Mm. This one calls for another session with my lawyer present. I know the reasons. I can't share the reasons. I'm sorry.
I think most Malaysians know the reasons, right?
Yes.
Is it the same reason that we all suspect the reason to be?
Well, I don't know what you suspect. I know what I know. I don't know what you suspect.
I don't know what you know.
Well, we know what we know, and we know you know what we know.
So how does coverage of this evolve over time?
Well, I don't think it's going to go away. Now it's all heated up. Everyone's talking about it. Even on my website, my website numbers have just blown through the roof, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's going to die off. Because why? Many years ago, when it was brought up under the previous government, it also became a hot issue, but it was squashed. Again now, I think, you know, with the ministry coming out with a lot of press releases, I think they themselves, their hands are a little bit tired. You know, they can't do much about it, but they just have to accept it and just go with the flow.
What's to prevent... potential benefit, right? If you're a foreign car maker, if you say Mercedes, right? Mm-hmm. If you wanted to get around the AP system, is there a proposition to assemble those cars here? For example, one of the more, like, say the X-Class, right? The truck kind of Mercedes, right?
The Mercedes X-Class pickup truck.
X-Class, yes. Right? Right now, you have to bring them in if you want to on an AP.
Yes.
Is there a proposition to build them here? And then you bypass that AP system.
Okay. Building cars here, no issue. Like in Thailand, you can build. Indonesia, you can build. The problem is when you build something locally, the CKD pack, the completely knocked down pack, there is a minimum amount to order. So say now I'm Mercedes-Benz Malaysia, head of product planning or head of acquisition. I say, okay, I want to bring in the X-Class. I want to sell, say, maybe 5,000 units. Now, if I make the proposition to my board and say, I want to make 5,000 units, please order 5,000 CKD packs from Germany. Germany prepares the packs, send it here. And we only manage to sell 3,000 cars. What's going to happen with the other 2,000? My job is on the line. A lot of people are going to lose their jobs. So the planning has to be very, very accurate. But when I do CBU, I can plan, you know, just bring in 500 first, 500 first. For example, like now Proton, the new Proton X70, it's fully imported from China.
Even,
so they've got APs for it.
Okay.
So they've got 20,000 over APs for it. So the first 20,000 over units that's coming in is rolling off the boat. It's 100% made in China Proton. There's nothing wrong with it. In fact, it's better because it's fully imported. Why? Because the factory is being upgraded to accept the CKD program. But once the CKD program comes, Proton management must decide, we've sold 20,000 over fully imported units. How many more can we sell to Malaysians before the next model comes out? So I've got to decide how many CKD packs to order. That planning is very, very, you know, it's an accounting miracle, you know, yes. Yeah.
So in your discussions with your sources in various industry guys and obviously the luxury car boys, right?
Yes.
How did they take to this news of the AP news?
So far, existing AP holders, the big boys, are very happy with me.
For having blown it out?
Yes. Yeah. Because they are already in a strong position. Their businesses are all very strong, set, you know, concrete, you know. The new guys are not happy with me.
The new AP holders.
The new AP holders are not happy with me. Because now they have to quickly run around, set up shop, make sure they got their signboard up, make sure they got their partnerships all sorted out so that they physically sell cars.
Incredible. Mm. So these are the 36 new guys that didn't plan on starting to do anything.
Well, not all 36. There's a few of them who did not plan on, you know, doing the business properly.
Okay. So obviously APs is one issue in the local car industry. What other, you know, newsworthy things are there that is happening in Malaysia's automotive industry that we shouldn't be knowing about?
Well, let's talk about APs for reconditioned trucks.
Yeah, that's another big
commercial
thing, right?
Vehicles. Yeah. Look at our logistics industry. It's growing. It's huge. But the common Malaysian, the normal Malaysian doesn't know about this. He just sees a lot of trucks. He doesn't understand how many reconditioned trucks are coming in. And these trucks are coming in after serving maybe 400,000-500,000 kilometers of travel in Europe. They just come in, you know, they call them rebuilt trucks. But they're not really rebuilt. They're just new tires. We change the engine oil. We do some, you know, some physical attributes to the truck. And then we put it on the road. Now, are these trucks actually, you know, ready to go on the road and mingle with normal car drivers and motorcycle drivers?
So DSF.my, your website, has really been predominantly a car review site.
Yes.
And, you know, new car tastes. Does this signal a change in direction for you guys? Maybe more hard-hitting, you know, scoops type stories?
I want to do more. Before, we couldn't do it because we'll be, you know, controlled. Now, I can do it. And that is why I'm going out and talking to people and getting more information and producing more articles that Malaysian car owners want to know.
So what's the car portal business been like? Has it been all right?
It's commercially viable? Not good at all.
Not good?
Yeah, it's better to be in the radio business.
Okay, Daniel, thank you ever so much for your candidness and your honesty.
Thank you.
Look forward to the next session with you.
Yes.
I was talking to Daniel Fernandez. He's the editor and founder of DSF.my, the car portal that has been talking really about the approved permit system. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.